following message is presented by First Baptist Church of Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Now the message.
I was in the synagogue every day for as long as I could remember. Sometimes I really wanted to go. Sometimes I was made to go. But I thought that just going to church would draw me closer to the Lord. Or was I ever wrong about that? I knew what was written in the law and the prophets. Every day of my life as a young Jewish boy, I was taught to recite the Shema. Oh, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, He is one. And you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might, and all your strength. And these commandments I give you these days, you shall teach them to your children. And that's exactly what was taught to me. I knew that God loved me, but I never understood the depth of that love until that night that I met Jesus. You see, I was a leader. I didn't just go to church. I was a leader in the church. I belonged to the Sanhedrin. I was a leader of the Pharisees. I taught people how to live a good life. I taught them how they could be good, moral people, how they could live an ethical lifestyle. What the law taught, what the Ten Commandments taught, what did God say about living your life right? I could teach them all of these things, but I couldn't tell them how to get to heaven because I didn't know myself. I didn't know what it would take. We knew that there would be a resurrection one day. We knew that God was preparing a place for us. But how to actually tell someone that they could have eternal life, I couldn't do it. Then Jesus came. Well, He was more than just a teacher. You should have seen the works that He was able to accomplish when He was here on this earth. Multitudes. He would take a little boy's lunch and feed thousands of people. People that the religious leaders didn't want to touch. Those who had leprosy. Those who were crippled, lame, and blind. Those who didn't go to church. It seemed like those were the ones that He was attracted to more than anyone else. Those who the religious people were afraid of. Those who I didn't want to be around. Those were the ones that Jesus wanted to touch. And I knew that if I ever talked to Jesus and my peers found out about it, that would be the end of me in this city. I knew they would laugh at me. I knew they would mock me. I knew they would think that I had lost my mind. The last thing that I wanted was to be called a follower of Jesus Christ. So I came to Him by night under the cover of darkness. And I called Him good teacher. But He knew exactly what was on my heart. I didn't even ask Him about heaven. I'd had nothing to do with eternal life. All I did was call Him good teacher. How can you do these works? He knew what was in my heart, though. When He looked into my eyes, He could tell exactly what was on my heart. And here's what He said. He went straight to the matter. He said, unless a man is born again, he shall not see the kingdom of heaven. I had never heard this teaching before. All we were taught was, thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. All these things that you should not do. But what I need to do to have eternal life, I didn't know and I could not tell anyone. But Jesus knew what was on my heart and He knew exactly what I needed on that night. We had a great conversation. And my curiosity was piqued. I knew from that moment on, I must know more. What does the Old Testament say about this man named Jesus? What is written in the law and the prophets? Was there anything that they said about the coming Messiah? I knew that there were a few things that were written in there. But until I began to explore on my own, what did Moses write about the Messiah? What did David write? What did Jeremiah write? Every book that I went to that I had, I could find something about this man named Jesus. It was incredible. Written 700, 800, 1,000 years before Jesus was even born, with precise detail. A prophet by the name of Micah said he would be born in the town of Bethlehem. All the way back to Genesis, he would be born of a virgin. Isaiah said, a virgin shall conceive. That was unheard of. Supernatural. Some people refer to it these days as the Immaculate Conception. Only God could do something like that. Here's what you need to know about the Bible. The Bible is more than just a book that you read. The Bible is a book that reads you. There is a writer in the New Testament. He actually says that the Word of God is living, it's active, and it's powerful, and it's sharper than any two-edged sword. And all of these prophets in the Old Testament, they knew, God had revealed to them that something or someone was coming one day that would show us the way to God. It would show us the way to eternal life. And the more I learned about this man named Jesus, the more I knew I wanted to be closer and closer to him. You see, all throughout my life, I thought that the only way to heaven would be on my own. The best way to describe it is like the rungs on a ladder. Getting to heaven was something that I could do under my own power and under my own strength. I thought that step by step, each and every day I could do something. Going to church, giving of my tithes and offerings, being a good person, I thought that there was something that I could do on my own to get closer and closer to God. And the more I tried, the more I realized that it was impossible. So that's when I came to Jesus. I knew I was missing out on something. I needed someone to show me exactly what God had written in His Word. And the reason I came to Him at night is because I didn't want anyone to see. And on that night, He said that men loved darkness. He said they didn't come to the light. Jesus Himself actually said that He was the light of the world. And He said, men do not come to the light, but they come to the darkness because their evil deeds would be concealed. I wasn't doing an evil deed. I just didn't want anybody to know that I was interested in this man named Jesus. And then after that, I began following Him. Everywhere He went, I was there. And those who needed to be healed. I saw Him when the other Pharisees would confront Him. The more good things that Jesus did, the more the religious leaders hated Him. Oh, I've never seen hatred like this before. They were mad. They were fuming. They were writhing. I've never seen such weeping and gnashing of teeth as these guys. The more Jesus did, the madder they became. And then they started plotting against Him. I knew that wasn't the right thing to do. They wanted to find a way to trick Him and trip Him up and prove Him wrong. I got so amused by it. Every time they tried, He turned the tables on them. You see, He wasn't just knowledgeable about the Word of God. He was the Word of God. There's a writer that you know about. He wrote the Gospel of John. He said this. He says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Could it be that this man named Jesus was truly who He claimed to be? No doubt about it. There was something different about Him. Here's what it was. Either He was a liar, or He was a lunatic, or He was actually the Son of God. And I wanted to know. He had 12 men that he called disciples, his followers. They were with him everywhere that he went. He was teaching them. He was training them. And I began following, but I followed at a distance. I was still very, very, very skeptical about who Jesus was and what he could do, but I wanted to know so bad. You see, I knew if any one of my other Pharisee friends knew that I was following Jesus, they would make fun of me. So I would get up every day. I would pray, God, is this truly your Son? If he really showed us the way to heaven, would you please show me in your word, in the Psalms, the Proverbs? God, I thought I was doing everything right. But I want to know, what do I need to do? What does it take to truly get to heaven? How can I draw closer to you, Lord? And is this man named Jesus truly the Son of God? And I tell you what, the more time I spent in the Scriptures, the more I saw how he would die, how he would live. Each and every step of the way was predicted in the Old Testament. I started looking forward to these times each and every day. I couldn't wait to get up and get into the Testament, the prophets, the law, the Psalms, the Proverbs. How important is God's word to you? How is your quiet time right now? Do you spend time in the word finding out who Jesus really is? Because it's only through the Bible that you will find those things. Jesus himself said, "Search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life." And you may be doing something right now that you think is right. You may think you got all the check boxes marked off. There's also a verse in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. It says this, it says that there is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end thereof are the ways of death. You see, if you're doing things your way, that's when you'll fail. But when you trust in the Lord and do things his way, that's when he'll begin revealing to you. God doesn't want your money. He doesn't want your acts. He doesn't want your service. Those things are part of being a Christian. The one thing that God is looking for, though, he's looking for an obedient heart. Someone who will say yes to what he is asking them to do and nothing else. I wanted to find out, what do I need to do with this man named Jesus? And that's the question that I come today to ask you. What will you do with Jesus? Where do you stand in your relationship with the Lord? Are you a follower? Are you trying to get as close to the Lord as you possibly can? Are you getting into his word each and every day? Or are you an undercover Christian? You don't want anybody else to know. Oh, I love the Lord, but if my friends found out about it, they'll make fun of me. They won't hang out with me anymore. I'll be an outcast. Each and every day is a decision. Am I going to live for myself, or am I going to live for Jesus? And here's the thing about Jesus. Even though I came to him at night, even though I came to him under the cover of darkness, there was never anyone that he met that he didn't call them out publicly. He wanted to know how serious they were in following him. These are the very words he said right here. He said, "Whosoever shall confess me before men, him will I also confess before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven." Oh, I wanted to be a follower of Jesus so bad. And it took me a long, long time to get over my fears. I was a critic. I was a skeptic. But the more I followed Jesus, the more I heard about his teachings, the more I saw the miracles that he did, the closer I came to him. And then one day, all of the Pharisees had gathered together for a council. They called Jesus. They were accusing him of certain things that we knew weren't true. I was there that day. They accused him of so many things. And it was then that I just couldn't stand it anymore. I spoke up for Jesus in the midst of all of my peers. And they said, "What? Are you too a follower of Jesus?" And it was that moment on I knew that there was no turning back. You see, I had heard about God's love all of my life. I knew, according to the law and the prophets, the Old Testament, the Psalms, just how much God loved me. But I never really understood the depths of his love until I found out for myself who Jesus really was. And that day, during the council, when I stood up, I testified, "What you're saying is wrong. He is who he says he claims to be. His teachings are true. His miracles can only come from God." You have someone these days, you have people who are of the Christian faith. They are called apologists. They are defenders of the faith. And I guess you could say that on that day, I became the first true Christian apologist. Oh, I wasn't the only one. You see, there was another person, another Pharisee. His name was Saul of Tarsus. While it took me a long time, several years, to get over my skepticism and become a follower of Jesus Christ, Saul of Tarsus was changed in a moment. Saul of Tarsus actually hated Christians more than anyone else. He would take Christians and he would drag them out of their homes and throw them in jail. And he was on his way on the road to Damascus to persecute Christians, and it was there. He said he was struck down by a light and he heard a voice from heaven. And from that moment on, he was so radically changed that he was no longer Saul of Tarsus, but the Apostle Paul. And he was no longer persecuting Christians, but he actually became a preacher, an evangelist, and a missionary. And he wrote several of the letters that are included in your New Testament. Paul understood at that moment that what he had been taught from his youth on up would not and could not get him as close to God as trusting in Jesus Christ would. See, this world wants to take you. It wants to shape you to its standards. There are people in this world, they will teach you false teachings. Man's ways of twisting God's word, making you think that what they are teaching is true. Here's what the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. He said, "Do not be conformed to this world." And that's exactly what was happening to us until we met Jesus. But he said, "Be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." And it wasn't until I was enlightened by the Lord Jesus Christ and until it was revealed to me through the study of God's word, I knew that this man named Jesus, he had the words of eternal life. Even at a distance, when he was teaching his disciples, I was able to listen to what he was saying. He said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you." And he said this, he said, "I go to prepare a place for you." That's what I wanted to know right there. How can I get to heaven. He said, you believe in God, believe also in me. And it was that moment I started becoming a follower of Jesus Christ. I didn't want to conceal it anymore. I didn't want to keep it a secret. I didn't care who found out. I knew that I couldn't make it to heaven on my own. Because here's what Jesus said. He said, I am the way. Not one of many ways. He said, I am the only way. He said, I am the truth. What you've been taught about, self-righteousness, legalism, getting to heaven on your own, that's not the truth. That's a lie. He said, I am the true word of God. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man, boy, girl, woman, nobody comes to the Father except through him. Thank you. I couldn't do it on my own. I was looking for a way to get to heaven. But the more I tried, the more I failed. And the more I tried on my own, the more frustrated I became. When I found out that Jesus was the only way to heaven, that's when my life made a radical turn. I found out more things in the scripture about what Jesus was going to do. And then he began revealing himself what was going to happen to him. He said, I'm not going to be with you much longer. In order for you to go where I'm going, I must go first. I must prepare the way for you. But don't worry, even though I go, I'm going to send a helper to live with you. His will be the Holy Spirit. He will be a counselor. He will be a comforter. He will teach you in all things that you need to know. He'll give you the boldness to live the life that you need to live. That's what I wanted in my life. That's what I lived my entire life and no one had told me about. But this man named Jesus, he knew exactly what was going to happen. And we were saddened to find out that he would no longer be with us. But we knew that there was a resurrection coming. We knew that there would be a day when he would rise up from the grave. You see, not only was a follower able to see all of the things that he taught, able to witness all of the miracles that he would do, but I was also there on the day that he died. Oh, we Jews, we had a law that when someone was tortured, when someone was beaten, when someone was punished, the most that they could take was 40 lashes, no more than that. I had seen it before. I had seen people punished before, but never like this. Jesus had stood before Pontius Pilate, wrongfully accused. And even in that, the prophet Isaiah said that he would be like a sheep led to a slaughter. And he would be silent. He wouldn't say a word. And then after that was when the beatings began. As I mentioned earlier, I knew that God loved me. But I never understood the depth of his love. On that day when Jesus was falsely accused, they tied him to a post and a Roman soldier took a cat of nine tails. And it was then that I understood the depth of God's love for me and for you. When the Roman soldier got through with him, he was barely recognizable. It didn't even look like a man. The cat of nine tails had ripped shreds of meat off of his back. He was bleeding profusely. You could see bones in his back. That too was predicted by the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah said you would not even be able to recognize him as a man. But here was the good news that Isaiah had about this beating that Jesus took. Isaiah said he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and it is by his stripes that we are healed. You see, it was there on that day that I remembered what he said. That first night that we met, this understanding that I was wrestling with, how do I know that God really loves me? How can I understand the depth of his love? And I saw Jesus' body there, broken, battered, bleeding. It was there when I remembered he said this. He said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Jesus willingly took my punishment, my sin. And that's when I knew exactly how much God loved me. And I knew that I could not get to heaven on my own. But what Jesus was doing on that day was going to set me free. His death was going to bring new life to me. And you see, there are people even today, they believe they can get to heaven on their own. They believe that doing enough good things will get them to heaven. They believe that going to church every day will get them to heaven. They believe that giving a tithe or offering will get them to heaven. They believe that just by being a good person would be enough to get them into heaven. Friends, let me say this. If any of that could get you into heaven, then this death that Jesus died was an unnecessary death. If there was any way that you could get to heaven on your own, Jesus died on the cross for absolutely no reason. There is no good work that will earn your way into heaven. But on that day, they took a crown of thorns and put it on Jesus' head. They drove nails through his hands and his feet. And there he stood suspended between heaven and earth. And the sin of the world was put upon him. And he knew that once the sin of the world was put upon him, he was paying the price for our sins. I was there that day that he died on the cross. In the middle of the day, the sun quit shining. Darkness across the land. And before Jesus drew his final breath, he said these words. He looked in the crowd. I was in the crowd that day. And before Jesus died, he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And it was there that I knew just exactly how much God loved me and how much God loved you. My friend, the Apostle Paul, said this. He said that God demonstrated his love toward us. God openly put it on display. He didn't do anything in private. He did it publicly. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And when Christ died for us, the way to heaven was made plain and simple. Not by works of righteousness which you have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Friends, if there was any way that you could get to heaven on your own, then Jesus would not have had to die on the cross that day. Maybe you're here today. Maybe this is the first time that you've ever heard that Jesus died for you. And you're like me. Maybe you're a little bit skeptical of the gospel. Let me just help you out a little bit. The word gospel in the original language actually means good news. It's not bad news. Jesus didn't come to make you feel bad. Jesus did not come to condemn you. I'll never forget on that first night when we met, I said, this is it, man. This guy's going to wear me out. He's going to make me feel bad. He's going to tell me everything that I did wrong. That's not what he did. As a matter of fact, he used an Old Testament reference. He says, here's how you need to believe. Here's how easy it is to believe in me. He used an Old Testament story from the book of Numbers. He said, Moses put a serpent on a pole. Anyone that was bitten by the serpent and infected by its venom, all they had to do was look at that serpent on the pole. He said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of God be lifted up. And anyone who looks and believes will be saved. Are you saved today? What does that mean? Does that mean that I would be saved from the power of sin? It means you will be saved from the penalty of sin. Because Jesus paid the price. He paid the penalty for my sin and for yours. Here's the news that you need to know. Back in the Garden of Eden, the first sin that was ever committed, that sin was passed on to us, to the entire human race. Just as those serpents in the wilderness bit each person and infected them with their venom, each and every one of us have been infected with something called sin. There are several different definitions of sin in the Bible. Sin is unrighteousness. Sin is anything that displeases God. Sin is the things that we do that are displeasing God, but it is also the things that we don't do that God has asked us to do. And the Bible clearly says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That word all means each and every one. All means all, and that's all that all means. There are none righteous, no, not one. And that creates a problem. You see, God is a holy God. He is a just God. He cannot be in the presence of sin. A holy and righteous God is separated from anything that is infected with sin. That creates a problem for us. If we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, we're automatically separated from a God that loves us. Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death. And we're all going to die a physical death at some point in time. But the death that Scripture is referring to is a spiritual death, a separation for all eternity from a holy God in a place called hell. Friends, that's the bad news. But if you remember, the word gospel means good news. God sent His one and only Son into this world to die on the cross for our sins. Because we couldn't make it to heaven on our own, we needed someone to pay our way into heaven and to pay for the penalty of our sins. While the wages of sin is death, here's the good news. The Bible says that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The best news is that gift can be yours. And it's as simple as this. You call upon Jesus to forgive you your sins. You believe in Him as the Son of God. And you believe that His payment was sufficient enough for your sins. The Bible says if you'll confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Not condemned, but saved from the penalty of your sin. See, on that first night that I met Him, He said, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send his son into this world to condemn this world, but that this world through him might be saved. Friend, are you saved today? Do you know for sure where you will spend eternity? And if you're thinking you're on your way to heaven because of something that you've done, something you've said, something you've given, something you've accomplished in your life, you've been fooled. There's no neutral ground in this area. There's no straddling the fence on this topic. Either you are saved or you're lost. Either you're a child of God or you're not. Either you're a friend of God or you're an enemy of God. Either you're walking in the light of Jesus Christ or you're walking in the darkness. And the determining factor of that is this. Do you have Jesus Christ in your life? Are you following him each and every day? Have you asked him to forgive you of your sins and make you a new person? 1 John chapter 5 says this. He who has the Son of God has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. These things I have written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. You may be sitting here today and say, preacher, there's no way anyone can know for certain whether or not they're going to heaven. That's not what the Bible teaches. These things I have written to you that you may know that you have eternal life. In just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I want to give you some time to respond to what you just heard. If you're here today and you've never made a decision to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, maybe today will be that day. March the 16th, 2025. On 3:16, I heard for the first time, John 3:16. That God loved me enough that he would send his only son into this world to die for my sins, and whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. And friend, today you can walk out of here with the assurance of knowing that Jesus Christ is your personal Lord and Savior, that you are a child of God, and that one of these days, according to his word, not my word, you'll spend eternity with him in heaven. You say, Brother Tracy, I don't know how to do that. Well, you're in luck. I'm fixing to tell you how. All you got to do is ask him. The book of James says that you have not because you ask not. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Maybe you're here today and you say, Brother Tracy, I've never prayed before. I don't know how to do it. It's as simple as talking to the person next to you. It's as simple as talking to your next friend. You don't have to use any fancy language. You don't have to know all the Bible terms. You just simply say, God, I know I messed up. I know that my life is not where it needs to be. I know that according to your word, that I've sinned, and there's a penalty that I have to deal with. But I also know that according to your word, your son Jesus died in my place. And you've prepared a place for me, and you've prepared a way for me. And I want to have that assurance in my life. So Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I believe that your blood was shed for the forgiveness of my sins. And I'm asking you now to come into my heart and make me a new person. It's as easy as that. Now, in just a moment, I ask you to do something. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus into your life, don't be a Nicodemus. Don't live your life at a distance. Here's how we know that Nicodemus became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because on the day that Jesus died, as the sun was setting, the Sabbath was upon them. A man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus requested for the body of Jesus so they could anoint it and give it a proper burial. Nicodemus wasn't a secret follower anymore, but he waited too late to serve the Lord. See, there was a lady that by the name of Mary, she came before Jesus died. She anointed Jesus' feet with oil and tears and wiped it dry with her hair. She served Jesus while he was here on this earth. But Nicodemus waited until after Jesus had died before he started serving the Lord. Friend, you're here for a reason today. You were not put on this earth by mistake. You were not created the way you are by mistake. And you have an opportunity now to serve the Lord with your life. First, you need to surrender to him. And in just a moment, I will give you the opportunity to do that. And this invitation is for everyone. Perhaps you're here and you already know that you're a Christian, but maybe you're not serving the Lord the way that you should. Why don't you make a commitment today? Saying, God, I've fallen short in my service to you, and I want to live my life in the best way possible from this day forward. Perhaps you're here today and you're not a Christian. Friend, that's not one of the most important decisions you'll ever make in your life. The most important decision that you'll ever make in your life is not where you'll go to school. It's not who you're going to marry. It's not what kind of career path you're going to have. The most important decision that you will ever make in your life is surrendering to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can do that today. Every head bowed and every eye closed. As the musician comes to the piano, we're not going to sing. There's just going to be some quiet music in the background. But I'm asking right now for Christians to begin praying. Let me say just this. We've been praying for this day for several weeks now. We had a special time of prayer Wednesday night. We've been praying since 8 o'clock yesterday morning in this facility that God would transform some lives that would be here today. I didn't know who was going to be here today. I didn't know how many or how few. I just knew what the Lord had laid upon my heart to share with you. Friends, the gospel is good news. And the most important message that you'll ever hear in your life is that God so loved you. Not just the world, but you. If you would have been the only person on this earth, Jesus still would have died for your sins. But God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. Whosoever believes in him will not perish. And the initial sign that you are believing in Jesus is by letting someone know about it. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I'm going to lead you in prayer in just a moment. You don't have to say it out loud. But just in the quietness of this moment, this may be your only chance. Maybe you've heard the gospel before. Maybe you've heard it 100 times. Maybe this is your first time. But if you don't know where you're going to spend eternity, I would encourage you, say this prayer with me. There's nothing magical about this prayer, but it indicates a heart that's willing to do what God is calling them to do. You just pray in your heart right now. God, I know that I've sinned. I know that my sin is separating me from you. I know that my life is not where it's supposed to be. And I want that to change. Jesus, I believe that through your death, burial, and resurrection, I can have new life. And that's what I want today. So Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my life and make me a new person. And I promise to follow you all the days of my life from this moment on. Now, if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, and if becoming a follower of Jesus Christ is something that you desire to do, I'm going to ask you to do something in just a moment. It's going to require a little bit of boldness on your part. As soon as the music begins playing, I'm not going to have anyone looking around. The cameras are off. This isn't being televised or anything. This is a very quiet, private moment. But if you prayed that prayer and you really meant it, and you want to know how you can begin a relationship with Jesus, as soon as the music begins, I'll be here in the front. John Logan will be here. We have other counselors that are ready to talk with you. Come let us know about that decision so we can tell you where to go from here. Let me pray for you and the music will begin. Father God, we love you so much. We thank you for this day. And we thank you for the greatest message ever known to mankind. That God loved us enough, even though we'd messed up, he made a way for us to have eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. And Lord, I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would just move throughout this congregation, that you would stir hearts, you would change lives. Those who have drifted away will come back and begin to serve you. But most important, if there's anyone here that doesn't know you as their personal Lord and Savior, that today would be that day. They would bow down on their knees, they would confess their sins, and they would give their lives to you. We just ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Morgan City, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about First Baptist Church, including contact info, go to the website www.fbcmc.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.